Let us pray. God of love, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Today we honor our moms. Not everybody can be a mom, but everyone at some time in their life has had a mom. And at that time, our mom was the most important person in our world. Some of us had moms who made great sacrifices on our behalf. We are profoundly grateful for that. So today we honor our moms. It's not easy being a mom. Here are some examples of some mothers and things they could have said. Mona Lisa's mom. After all that money your father and I spent on braces, Mona, that's the biggest smile you can give us? Humpty Dumpty's mom. Humpty, if I've told you once, I've told you 100 times not to sit on that wall. But would you listen to me? No. Christopher Columbus's mother. I don't care what you've discovered, Christopher. You still could have written. Michelangelo's mother. Mike, can't you paint on walls like other kids? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get that stuff off the ceiling? Napoleon's mom. All right, Napoleon, if you're not hiding your report card inside your pocket, then take your hand out of there and prove it. Jonah's mom. That's a nice story, but now tell me, where have you really been for the last 3 days? No, it's not easy being a mom. I've always wondered what Jesus would do with Mother's Day. Of course, we have no way of knowing, but we do know that there was a command, one of the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and your mother. It's a tradition, we are told, that Jesus did observe. The testimony is in 2 different places, both in the Gospel of Luke and in the Gospel of John. The first scene is from his childhood. It's the only incident we have from his childhood. It occurs in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus is 12 years old, in the temple at Jerusalem. After that scene, Luke says, referring to Jesus' parents, he went down with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them. As a good Jewish boy, Jesus honored his father and his mother. We know that Jesus was raised by strict Orthodox Jewish parents, and he honored his mother and his father as a result. The other scene is from the Gospel of John. It's at the beginning of his life, just as the one from Luke is the beginning of his life as well. It is one of the last things that he did. The scene is at the cross. At the foot of the cross is John, the beloved disciple, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus turns to Mary and says, "Woman, behold your son." Then he turns to John and says, "Behold your mother." The next verses say that John then took Mary into his home, and she lived with him for the rest of her days. And Mary is listed among those people gathered there in Jerusalem, in the upper room, waiting anxiously for Jesus to return at Pentecost. We also know that the early church took care of widows. Widows in those days were a class in society. Today, they would be akin to like the homeless. What the church did was extend the command to honor your father and your mother, which means to take care of the old and the dependent, to a social policy, and assume that it was the mission of the church. So Jesus was faithful to the commandment to honor your father and your mother. And he called his followers, the church, us, to do the same, to take up a mission of maintenance of the decent moral human order in society that sees to it that those who are old and frail and dependent on others will have a dignified ending to their life. But I think there's something more here. We can see it in the story of the boy Jesus in the temple. Jesus obeyed the commandment to honor his father and his mother, but he also announced that there was a higher commandment. Jesus lived in what was called a kinship society. That is, that the highest loyalty is to kin or to family. It was a patriarchal society for sure, the father, the absolute ruler, at the top of the family. The family was taboo laden. It was shame oriented. People who were disciplined and kept in line by shaming them. You were loyal to the family in obedience to its values, or you paid a terrible price of banishment and ostracism. In kinship society, that is not uncommon. That's the society in which Jesus lived. He will attack it in his ministry as he travels around, most poignantly in his parable of the prodigal son, where the son, who has broken every taboo in sight, is welcomed home by the father, to the horror of the older brother. So the teaching of Jesus to honor the command, honor your father and your mother, is placed in context of a higher command. That is what he announces in the temple as a 12-year-old boy. Only 12. It seems awfully precocious to us. In Jesus' day, there was no stage of life, as there is today, that is called adolescence. In our day, adolescence spans the teenage years, for some people in the midlife. But in Jesus' society, you went from childhood into adulthood, and bar mitzvah was that rite of passage. At 12 years old, young boys were apprenticed adults. They were to learn a trade, and usually that was the trade of their father, which is what Jesus did. But Jesus did something more. Consider the scene. The family and friends had journeyed to Jerusalem to visit the temple. Then they started home only to realize that they left a few things behind, like Jesus. They got a short distance from the city and discovered that he was not with them. They retraced their steps and found him in the temple, debating theology with the professionals. Mary says to him, "Son, why have you treated us so?" And Jesus replied, "How is it that you have sought me?" He concludes by saying, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" The irony is wonderful, because at 12 in that society, that is what you should be about. You should be apprenticed to your father, if you're a boy, or to your mother, if you're a girl, to learn the family business. That was your vocation. But Jesus announces that his loyalty is to another father and to a greater community. And that, of course, becomes a major theme in his preaching. Which brings us to our text this morning. It's a much more comfortable text for Mother's Day because it's about love. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The only hitch here is Jesus says this is a new commandment, but it's not a new commandment. Jesus has taught us to love all along. In fact, he's already given us another commandment about love, the great commandment. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That is called the great commandment, and it's quite enough. So why do we have a new commandment? Well, here is the answer. Look where they are. It's the Last Supper, which means it's a Passover meal. In Jewish families then and today, you celebrate the Passover with your family. Now look who is there. The disciples. A family is commanded to love each other. It's obligatory in the family. Was it Robert Frost who said, "Home is where, when you go there, they have to take you in"? It's an obligation. He's telling the church, you are a new family. So love one another. That's a new command. Jesus is saying, love one another so that the world will know you're Christians by your love. That is exactly what happened. It was at Antioch that the church was first called Christians. They said in Antioch, "Look how these Christians love one another." It was a surprise because especially at Antioch, the church was made up of all these people who by kinship rules had no obligation to each other. In fact, who by kinship rules were obligated often to hate one another because they came from different nations and races, and they had no feeling of goodwill toward any of these people. The Antiochians see the church coming together as a new family, loving one another as if they were family, and they were amazed by what they saw. Jesus dismantled the kinship structure and created a new kind of family. When Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you," he was commissioning the church. Go out into the world and call the stranger friend. Be familiar with strangers. Treat strangers as family. We know that happened. From the very beginning, as I mentioned before, we know that the church took care of widows. They also took care of abandoned children. Tertullian, one of the early church leaders in the second century, wrote a letter to the Roman government complaining of the practice in those days of abandoning unwanted children on the streets of the cities of the Roman Empire. He wrote, "Abandoning them to the kindness of strangers, That is where that famous phrase, kindness of strangers, comes from. He was condemning the government for doing that. But the church not only condemned and protested the abandonment of children, they did something about it. They established orphanages all over the medieval world. One of them was called Della Pietà. It was in Venice. In the 18th century, it was considered one of Venice's tourist attractions. The girls in the orphanage formed an orchestra and chorus, and their music became famous throughout Europe. In 1714, Vivaldi became the director of the girls' orchestra at the Della Pietà. In 1743, the great philosopher, writer, and composer Jean-Jacques Rousseau visited Venice and went to hear the music. He was so taken by it, he asked if he could meet the girls. The concerts were held at the church, and the church was shaped in a medieval cruciform style. The audience sat in the nave, and the girls and the orchestra sat in the chancel. In those churches in Europe, there was a screen that separated the chancel from the nave, so you could hear the music, but you could not see the girls. Rousseau came around the screen to greet the girls, and he was shocked at what he saw. For many of them were physically deformed. Probably that is why they had been abandoned in the first place and left to be raised in an orphanage. But the church rescued them and said, "You are children of the Heavenly Father." And the church treated them as family. And as a result, they sang like angels. Jesus said to the disciples, and all us disciples, "A new command I give you, that you treat everyone as family, as I have treated you." There might be a question of what Jesus would have done with Mother's Day. But my friends, there's no question about what he's asking us to do. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.